does the Spirit have you? Because if the Spirit has you, then you are ready for the early rain experience. And if you're ready for the early rain experience, then you are ready for the latter rain to come. But first, we must experience what the Bible says in the Old Testament, the early rain experience, or in the New Testament, it's called the filling of the Spirit. Does the Spirit have you? I want to make this so practical. It is so vital and important to be filled with the Spirit. What does that look like anyway? We hear that expression, to be filled with the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit, all of them are saying the same thing. What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? I would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you for bringing your Bibles again today. If you have a neighbor nearby that doesn't have a Bible, please share your Bible with them. I hope that this passage in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, will come to life for you. It certainly has for me. And I would like to have you imagine that you have a bucket you've brought to church, an imaginary bucket, and we're going to just dip this bucket down into the resources of what is there in Ephesians chapter 5. And I promise you that by the help of the Holy Spirit, that you will bring forth nuggets of truth concerning the work of the Holy Spirit that lifts up Jesus Christ. Lifts up Jesus Christ. Jesus our Redeemer. You'll see. You'll see. Now for the next several weeks, our outline will be right there. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We're going to be looking at the passage, Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 33. And then chapter 6 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to seek to answer questions like these. When the Holy Spirit has control of my life, when the Spirit of God fuels my life, imbues me with the Holy Spirit more and more, how does it affect my relationship with my family? Take, for example, wives who are filled with the Spirit, how will you relate to your husband if you're filled with the Spirit? And husbands, those of you that are filled with the Spirit or allowing the Spirit of God to take more and more control of you, how will you treat your wife? And what is God's will for Spirit-filled children? And how does a Spirit-filled father relate to his son and his daughter? And lastly, if you and I are filled with the Spirit, how does that relate to our work? How does that come about in our work? What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? Let's get practical. Now, you know, it's interesting as I look at this passage, and I've been studying this passage. I've been drinking this passage up for the last several weeks and months. And I see here that being filled with the Spirit, experiencing the early rain or the former rain experience, it influences everything of our everyday life. Everyday life. What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? I would invite you now to go with me to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we begin with verses 18 and 19. Your Bible's open. And do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I find this verse that we have just read very, very interesting, because it's interesting to me because the first consequence of being filled with the Spirit is singing. Now, isn't that something? The first product of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of allowing the Holy Spirit that is already present there to take control there, is that we begin to sing. A song is released from our hearts, and we want to sing. And I think this is awesome. God puts music in the soul of a man or woman or a young person and releases it in a beautiful form as they are filled with the Spirit of God. And so Ephesians, the fifth chapter, has given us the first clue, and there's no question about it, music. The music that we sing, the music that we listen to, says a lot about us. In fact, the Apostle Paul is telling us here, this is an indicator of your spiritual walk. Music. Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, the letter of Ephesians, he was writing it to Christian Ephesians. No longer is he talking to them as unbelievers. He's talking to them as Christians. And these Ephesians, as they listen to the Apostle Paul, and this letter of Ephesians is being read out loud. They're hearing it out loud. And they knew exactly what he was talking about. He's talking about being drunk. Don't get drunk with wine. And they knew exactly what it was like because they used to get drunk with wine. In fact, the Ephesian Christians, they came from a background that was associated with drinking and music and dance and everything else that comes along with that. You see, it was a custom in their day. Maybe you can relate to this. Maybe you know someone that can relate to this. It was a custom in their days that if you want to get away from it all, if you want to kind of cope with the realities of life, then what you need to do is you experience your communion with the gods. And you enter into this high level of divine consciousness. Theirs was a religion of ecstasies. Theirs was a religion of emotion. And it all happened when they met together and they began with music. Music. They started with music. There's power in music. You agree with that? There's power in music. The music they listened to was loud, it was wild, it was way out, and then there was dance, then there was drinking, and more drinking, until they were drunk with wine. And then there was sexual perversion and emotion and ecstasy. This is how the Ephesians coped with the problems of everyday life. And it was all associated with music. It was associated with drinking and drunkenness and sexual perversions. And by the way, you know the popular day of worship when these pagan Christians, or I should say the pagans before they became Christians, worshipped on? It was a day when they really got into it. When they came into the temple in order to cope with it all, they came on the day of the sun, Sunday. That was the day when they really, really entered into this high experience in seeking their gods. But the Apostle Paul is saying to the Ephesian Christians, he says, you are now in Christ. That was in the past. Drinking was in the past. Music was in the past. That dancing was in the past. That was in the past. You are now a Christian. And your Savior is not Dionysus, the god of wine. No, no. Your Savior is Jesus Christ. And when He lived and He died and He rose again, it was the same as if you had actually lived that perfect life and died that perfect death and rose again victoriously. Now, He speaks to them. Now, make manifest your position that is in Jesus Christ. Even in the music that you sing and listen to, allow the Holy Spirit to have you. I don't know about you, but music affects me. It really does. I've grown up with all kinds of music over the years. It can lift me up. It can put me down. It can excite me. It can calm me down. Some music is really for the good, and some is anything but for the good. But the Apostle Paul is implying here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. He says, don't get drunk with wine and listen to music like you used to. Fill your minds, brother. Fill your minds by being continually filled with the Spirit of God, by filling your lives with the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ. And choose to sing and listen to music that lifts you up to heavenly places. Music that gives glory to the wonderful, awesome God through Jesus. Oh, sing a new song. You know, things haven't changed, have they, since the time of the Ephesians? There is still drinking and drunkenness. There is still dancing. And there is still music. Music that does anything but draws you to enjoy spiritual things. And in these last days of Earth's history, the enemy Satan, what has he done? He has come about, he has created a form of music that has a combination of three things. Note what they are. This is not a surprise to you. A combination of three things: sex, drugs, and the occult. It's called rock and roll. We know about it. Rock music is being something that lots and lots of young people, lots of people in general, are listening to. They're filling their minds, and it's gone past the place and the point of just being music, really. And now it's occultic, it's sexually suggestive, it is drug-inducing, it has gone past the point of being just music. And to give you an idea, just a glimpse of what rock and roll and how it influences people, I went back in my notes and looked up what some of the rock and roll stars say about their music. And I have to admit that some of the people I'm going to quote are a little older now, but the statements they have to say are very relevant to this very day and this very moment. Take, for example, there was a rock star very popular in his day, Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent. Now, I don't recall his name. I used to listen to rock and roll a lot. But he said this, quotes, "Rock is the perfect primal method of releasing our violent instincts. I like to rape an audience," unquotes. And at a rock concert, that's exactly what happened. There was a riot and 12 people died. That's sad, isn't it? Now, in my study, I read a book called Rock and Roll, The Devil's Division, or Diversion. It was written by Bob Larson. And he illustrated in this book the time when a missionary came to a tribe in an uncivilized part of Africa. And this missionary brought with him a tape recorder. And he put a cassette in it, and it was the music that was coming from this cassette was wholesome, kind of semi-classical music. And the natives sat and listened, and they smiled at each other. And they indicated, well, we would like to hear some more. Then he pushed the button and took that tape out and put another one in. This time it was rock and roll music. And those natives picked up their spears, and they picked up rocks, and they were going to throw rocks at that music and crash and destroy it. And you know, I totally agree with Ted Nugent. I really do. Rock music is the perfect primal method of releasing our violent instincts. Now, believe it or not, sadly, unfortunately, there are homosexual groups that involve with rock music. And one of them was a man by the name of David Bowie. He was one of them. He lived in England. And in one year, he was voted the number one male singer in England, and also the number one female singer the same year. Try to figure that one out. You can figure the perversion of it all. And David Bowie made this statement. He says, "Rock has always been the devil's music. It lets in the baser elements," unquotes. They know the source of that. They know the source of that stuff. Now, several surveys have been given out among young people. It's noted that a young person, on an average, listens to 4 to 6 hours of rock and roll music a day. 4 to 6 hours. Now, no one can tell me that kids can have their brains assaulted with that kind of thing constantly, and it won't have any effect on them. They'll be the first to admit, I can listen to it, and it's okay, it doesn't hurt me, it hasn't affected me at all. You see, rock music not only advocates drugs and sex in the occult, also the breakdown of the Christian home, but at the same time, now listen carefully, it produces tension. Now think about it. Everything that I've read from professors of music to music conductors on music, in essence, quotes, listen to this. This is interesting. When you turn up the volume, speed up the tempo, make the beat irregular, when you go from extreme highs to extreme lows, you have no relationship to pitch, and with all that, the voice and the music screams, even shirks. Then you go right by the brain and induce emotional tension. Then, into that emotional tension, add evil words, evil thoughts, and the result is evil deeds and a mixed-up, confused, degenerate mind, unquote. Wow. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what happens to our desire for spiritual things when we feed our minds upon this kind of music, this wrong kind of music? Many of us as Adventist Christians are familiar with a lady by the name of Ellen White. And Ellen White wrote a lot about music. And I know she lived many, many years ago. But what she has to say about music is very interesting. She wrote something in regards to young people as if it was written for today. Volume 1 of the Testimonies, page 496 and 497. Parents, you want to note this. 496, 497, volume 1. Quotes, "They, young people, have a keen ear for music. And Satan knows what organs to excite, to enamorate, engross, charm the mind so that Christ is not desired." What is it? What's the reason for him doing it? So that Christ is not desired. The spiritual longings of the soul for divine knowledge, for a growth in grace, are wanting. Why? Now listen to this. The introduction of music into their homes, instead of inciting to holiness and spirituality, has been the means of diverting their minds from the truth. Unquotes. Can you relate to this? As I look into your faces today, where a good many of us here are a little older than our teen years, but do you remember those days that maybe you listened to rock and roll? I have to stand here and confess to you that I did. In fact, as I used to mow lawns and trim bushes, I love gardening and yard work. I don't have a real green thumb, but I enjoy it. But I listened to the rock and roll music. I knew the top 10. I really did. I would listen to it again and again and again. And I couldn't figure out. When I went to church, church was boring. Everything was so slow. It wasn't fast enough. It was really boring. And yet, deep down inside my life, my heart, I said, I am miserable. If this is Christianity, forget it. Well, I didn't know Christianity. I was listening to other voices. That music was affecting me. It took a while for me to finally realize that. That which we fill our minds with ultimately controls us. Now, possibly some of you are thinking, well, Pastor Ken, aren't you grateful? Aren't you thankful that we have today the Christian alternative, Christian rock, contemporary Christian music? Now, don't misunderstand me when I say this, but why would we want to identify with that median at all? Why would we want to identify with a vehicle that is characterized by sex and the occult and the drugs? Rock and roll music. But the truth of the matter is that our evangelical friends, which I love, and many of them love Jesus Christ and know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're His children. But the evangelical church today is attempting to use rock and roll music, the rock and roll beat, as a medium of communicating the gospel. And they think it's a good idea. And their basic argument goes like this. If you remove it from its secular context, the point of association with evil will be removed, unquotes. Now, is that true? Does that really happen that way? It has been discovered. I have to say, no, it doesn't. It has been discovered that what happens to a person who listens to jazz, who listens to soul, who listens to rock and roll music in its various forms will also happen to one who hears the same basic style in a religious setting, complete with religious words. Really. You see, it is a mixture. It is a mixture of truth and error. And if you listen to the words, that is, if you can hear the words, some of the contemporary religious music, if you listen to the words are wonderful. If you just had the words, it's a very good thing to do. But unfortunately, what happens is when you clothe the gospel with music that speeds up the tempo, has irregular beat, goes to extreme highs and extreme lows, has no relationship to pitch, and the singers and the music scream and screech. Well, such music, in principle, is no different than rock and roll. it induces the same emotional tension. What I am trying to say to us as Christian believers here today is that if we want the Holy Spirit who dwells there to take control there in our lives, then we will have to be selective in what we listen to and what we sing. Now, I want us to go back to the Word of God. Did you keep your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 5? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want for us to see God's will for the Christian who is desiring for the Holy Spirit to fill them, to take control of their lives. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, I'm going to read it again. Follow with me as I read. And do not be drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, as I read these verses and I prayed about them, I said, oh Lord, what is there here that I can share with my church family today, this Sabbath? And I see here four answers to four questions. Maybe you don't, but right now, I want to share those with you. Number one, the first question goes like this. Among whom do we sing? Among whom do we sing? And it's right there in the Word of God, verse 19, speaking to one another. Speaking to one another. Or in the New Century Version of the Bible, which is a very good translation, word for word, very simple, it goes like this. Speaking to each other. So those of you that are marking your Bible, put a little number one next to one another. You see, in other words, as Christians who are allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, want to control our lives, our songs will be directed among ourselves to the Lord, among ourselves. God desires that we sing and we have music in our worship service. And we do, don't we? I look forward to our worshiping together. I look forward coming here as I hear us sharing the talents that God has given us, singing and praise the Lord in song, hearing the various forms of music. That is one of the reasons why we come together to worship. You see, music is not primarily designed by God for evangelistic purposes. It is that, but primarily so that we can come together and we can worship in song and music. Well, that brings us to the second question. Question number two is this. From where will our songs originate? Where does your song originate? Where does it come from? According to the Word of God, here in verse 19, in your heart. Do you see it there in verse 19 towards the end? Write down a little number two next to in your heart. And this is why Christian music must be different than the world's music. Because you see, our songs are caused by a song that comes from within. There's something that happens within. It's because it's reflecting the joy that's in our hearts because we know the good news in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, are you singing? You will if you are being filled with the Spirit of God. You will if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. You will sing from your heart and make melody. Your heart will want to sing. But if you're not singing, if your heart is not singing right now, if there is no song, or the song that comes forth is kind of a hypocritical song, you're not in it, you're just going through the motions. This is not the song that God is interested in, my friends. He wants to hear a song that is a song of the redeemed that is generated from a Spirit-filled life, a Spirit-filled heart. And the Bible calls that song that He longs to hear come from your heart and my heart, the new song of the Christian. Now that word new, if you did a word study in the Word of God, you would discover that word new is used more often in the Bible with song than any other time. And as I study my Bible on this subject here, you know what I've discovered? I learned that every time new song, that expression, new song, is mentioned, it is connected with redemption. It is connected with redemption. Can you see now why the music of the Christian, redeemed by the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, should not try to imitate the world's music? Ours is a new song. It is a song that comes from our hearts, saved by grace, a heart that is allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, a heart that says, Lord, I not only want to speak of Jesus Christ, I want to be like Jesus Christ. Question number three. To whom is our song sung? And you see it right there in verse 19. At the end of verse 19, what does it say there? To the Lord. To the Lord. You see, when we as Christians, and we say yes to Jesus as our personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes at the same time into our lives, He dwells there, and He wants to take control there. When He begins to take control there, when we allow the filling of the Spirit to take place, my friends, we will want to sing to the Lord. To the Lord. And keep your bookmarks, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 5. We will be back there just briefly, but I want for us to go now to Psalms 96. Psalms, the 96th chapter. Way back there in the beautiful Psalms of David. So whether we sing psalms or hymns or spiritual songs, we will want to sing to the Lord. Now, I love the great Psalms of David, don't you? Probably for some of you, the best part of the Bible are the book of Psalms. And part of the reason why the Psalms are so meaningful to us is because David speaks so personally, so intimately to God. Have you noticed that? When his psalms are prayers or songs to the Lord, about the Lord too, but especially to the Lord. He wants to be intimate with the Lord. He wants to be personal with the Lord. Wow, David was filled with the Spirit. Notice this. In Psalms chapter 96 and verses 1 through 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Saying to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Indeed, David was filled with the Spirit. His prayers, his praises were put to music. Now, I also love the hymns. I love the hymns. As you open the hymnals each Sabbath, I love to open the hymnals as we look at those songs of the hymns on our screen, as well as the newer songs. But have you noticed that many of the hymns that we sing are not so much to God, but they are about God? Think about that. Now, I still love the hymns. They say so many wonderful things about our awesome God, but I also love the new songs, some of the newer songs, the spiritual songs, because they are to the Lord. It is as if they are like a prayer. They are expressing the experience that I have in Jesus. They want to adore Him. They want to worship Him. And they say it in such a way that I want to say it. It's like a prayer put to music to the Lord. And so this is one of the first things the Holy Spirit does when we allow Him to fill us. He moves us to sing because that's what the Spirit of God enjoys. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Remember the words? We said it last week. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will not talk about Himself. He will glorify Me, Jesus Christ. He won't. We won't be singing the blues. We won't enter into a beat that causes us to lose sight of reality, but we will want to sing to Jesus whom we love. You see, the primary object of music was to give glory to the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, to give Him the glory. That's what the new song mentioned in the Bible several times is all about. The new song about the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Notice this example. I'll quote it to you. Psalms 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. Marvelous things. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to our last passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Now, I find it interesting here that the last the song of the redeemed, the song that God's redeemed people in the final end will be a song that in essence sings of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. They are truly filled with the Spirit. I want you to see it here, Revelation chapter 5 and verses 8 through 14. Follow as I read this great passage. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang, what kind of song? A new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard them saying, "Blessed, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that remarkable what the redeemed are going to be saying? Jesus Christ will be their focus. Jesus, what he did for us in the past, what he is doing for us now through the work of the Holy Spirit, what he will do yet in the future, that will be the object, that will be the focus. All the spotlights will be on Jesus. Last but not least, the question number 4. With what is music to be composed? What is it to be composed of? Well, the answer is the very first part of verse 19. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. It says there, speaking and then making melody. Do you see those expressions? Write a little number 4 next to that if you would. You see, if we are being filled with the Holy Spirit, we will express that music by speaking. Speaking. Not what I'm doing right now, but what it means here is we will make a sound. What does it say in Psalms chapter 100, verse 1? "Oh, make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Psalms 100, verse 1. Now, the point is that the Spirit-filled people will make a noise. They'll make a sound offered from their Spirit-filled hearts to give glory to the Lord God. And the sound would come forth in singing. That's the sound. Now, maybe some of you are saying, "Well, Pastor Ken, you haven't heard me. I can't sing. I'm just a monotone." Well, the Lord is not wanting you to, he's not asking you to be perfect in tune. He's not asking you to be heard by other people. He's asking you to sing. He's inviting you to make a noise, to make a sound. Let it come forth. Give praise to the Lord. And friends, if you are being filled with the Spirit, if you are saying yes to Jesus and you're taking in the Word of God about Jesus, the Holy Spirit will fill you and fill you, and you will want to sing. You will want to sing. You will sing psalms that praise the works of God. You will sing hymns that are directed to the risen Jesus Christ and who Jesus is. You will sing. And then there's another way, as we close, that he designed that we praise our Redeemer. Making melody. You see it there? Making melody. You know what that means? Essentially, it means instruments of music. And so Paul is saying that there are two ways to make sounds. There are two ways to make noises unto the Lord. That is from your voice. Praise the Lord from your voice and singing. And secondly, with instruments of the Lord. And so there you have it. There you have it. There is the counterfeit and there is the genuine. And the counterfeit gives glory to self. It advocates a perverted sex, drugs, the occult, the breakdown of the home. It can even have religious words in it, but arranged in such a way that you are not able to hear the message of Jesus because of the beat. But then there's the genuine music, the music of the Spirit-filled Christian. It's done to worship and praise the Lord together as we come to worship. It comes from a heart that is touched by Jesus Christ. And thus we sing the new song, a song that uplifts Jesus, a Jesus who lived, Jesus who died, Jesus who is in heaven above, Jesus who is coming again. Of Him we sing our songs. Of Him we play our instruments. I ask you today, what kind of music are you listening to? What songs do you love to sing? The Word of God tells us these words, "And do not be drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your hearts to the Lord. Shall we do it now? Do you want to sing? Is it coming from your heart? Join us as we sing from our hearts, sing with instruments unto the Lord. This beautiful, beautiful song. We know as a church, we learned it some time ago. It's going to be on the screen here. "Great are you, Lord." We're going to be putting our instruments together. Beautiful, beautiful music unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the words that we sing. I want to invite us to sing it two times through. Think of the words. This is our prayer as we close our service today. Is it the prayer of your heart? It is the prayer of my heart. Stand together with me, will you? Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. Oh, holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all my heart I sing. Great are you, Lord, worthy of praise. Great are you, Lord, most sing it one more time. Holy Lord, most holy Lord, you alone are worthy of my praise. Oh, holy Lord, most holy Lord, with all of my heart I sing. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Most holy Lord. Great are. Join me as we pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you that you are here today. We thank you that your Holy Spirit has spoken to our hearts. Lord, we want to come out of our shell. We want to sing because we want to sing. We don't want to sing because we just have to sing. We want it to come from our hearts unto Jesus. May it be real, Lord. May we fall in love with Jesus every day, that we will want to sing unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.